brothers and sisters. I've been here for a long time already. I don't know if you remember last time when I came, I said I want to do something. I still want to do it this time. Last time I tried to remember three of your members, the name of the three of the members, and now I still remember one. The name is Max, right? Yeah, Max, right? Okay. The other two I forgot already. Can you help me? The other two sisters I remember. And your name is? Jimmy? And one more. Whitney? Is she here? Okay. So I try not to be too greedy. So this time I try to learn one name. Maybe it's easier for me. I think I know Carol, right? The hymn leader. Is Carol here? Okay. So at least I know one name. So I Max and Winnie. Maybe I try to remember these three names first. I want to ask another question. I've been here a few times, but I want to know, any one of you today is the first time you know me. Today is the first time you know me. Okay, just one, two, three. Okay. So my name is Francis Mack. I'm from another church, but I'm so delighted to be here occasionally. Another question I want to ask is, I believe most of you are Christians, but I want to know, any one of you is still seeking the Lord, or you haven't known about salvation or gospel or whatever relate to our Lord Jesus? Anyone for you believe you're still seeking the Lord? Is it okay to let me know, or none here? Okay, I believe it's none. Okay. Okay, that's good. Let's turn to the book of Luke. Chapter 15. Book of Luke, chapter 15. We start from verse 11. Book of Luke, 15:11. Listen to me, please. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So that he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pox that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Then he came to his sense. He said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men." So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. put a ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, What was going on? Your brother has come, they replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened cow for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Let's have another word of prayer together. Oh Father, you are our Father. It's such a precious thing to be. Oh Lord, when we all believe in you, you call us sons. Oh Father, we are thankful because we are not worthy of this. But you still call us sons. When you found us, you were so delighted. You bring us home and give us all the blessings. Oh Father, the hymn is a song to all the blessings we have. The most important one we know is that we are saved and we are in you. Oh Father, this hour we pray that you help us and lead us and also guide us into the truth, and let us understand more about the meaning of believing in you, the meaning of the salvation, the meaning of coming back to you. Oh Lord, we know that we belong to you, but how much do we understand this principle or this truth? May God help us that we can really enjoy and be able to praise you, because we are in you and you love us. Father, we pray that you give us the wisdom, and also you give us the inspiration from the Holy Spirit, that we can be able to understand the truth. May God be with us this hour. In the name of Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. I believe you all understand this passage and you have read this passage before. This is a parable about the lost son. We call it the prodigal son. And this son was, you know from the passage that he was very disobedient. He wanted to get the money from the father, the estate from the father, and then he went away. He spent his own way in his wild living, until one day he realized he had nothing, and then therefore he needed to go out to do maybe as a slave or as a very lowly servant and feed the pigs and things that he doesn't like to do. They come to his sense and he remember he actually was the son of his father who was so wealthy, and therefore he went back to his father. This is always a passage being used when we are preaching the gospel, and we all know that it's talking about how we can come back to God and our sin be forgiven. Last time when I was here, I shared about one thing, which is, what's meant by salvation? What's meant by believing in the Lord? Lots of times we focus on, yes, the salvation, the gospel being preached to us, we all know that it's for us to believe in the Lord so that we can be saved, so that we can be able to have our sins forgiven. Correct. And we all know that this is correct, and we should have this knowledge in us. But if we focus on the sins being forgiven for all of us, then that would be a big problem and a big trouble also for the rest of our life. Because salvation, yes, is sin being forgiven, but that's not, I repeat, that's not the focus of the salvation. Now, all of you, you said that you are Christian. Very good. And we want you to know that since you're Christian, you need to know what's the meaning of the salvation. The day when you believe in Jesus Christ, the day when you say, I confess my sins, you are Christian, yes. But do you know, actually, do you know what had happened? And what was in the heart of God when He said, you are being saved? When sins are being forgiven and we focus on this issue, mostly because we try to focus on, yes, we are having troubles or we are having difficulties. So therefore, we cannot resolve our problems and we need to go back to God. And God, it seems that the first and foremost for God is, are you a Christian? If you're not a Christian, I'm not going to help you. That may be something we have in our mind and say that therefore we need to be a Christian before we can get the help from God. Yes and no. Yes, we need to be a Christian. Therefore, the blessings, the grace, all the things from God will go to us through the Holy Spirit. Correct. But do you know what is the meaning of the salvation? If we focus on that area, then we miss the major point that God wants us to understand. And last time I mentioned about the sins being forgiven is actually a means to the end. It's a means to the end. It's not the end itself. If your sins are not being forgiven, you cannot, I repeat, you cannot come back to God. The key thing to God is you should come back to God. And how can you come back to God as a sinner? God said, when your sins are forgiven, you can come back to God. You can come back to me. Just like this lost son here, you know from this passage, what did he recognize? He recognized he was not supposed to be like that. He was there feeding the pig. Have you fed a pig before? No. Have you seen a pig before? Yes, I think so. Maybe in a TV. Have you touched a pig before? No. A pig seems to be not an alien, but something not in your family. If you are from the village, from China, there was a preacher. He went to preach in China, and he was being treated as a noble guest. But it's in the village. They had nowhere to put him. So everybody sleep together with the pigs. Well, then he realized, oh, the pigs they do smell, and they do snore. And that's the pigs. And I don't know if we can imagine how we can live with a pig or we can feed the pig. But that's not the key thing. The key thing is that when this lost son, he realized that he was doing something so lowly. He was not supposed to be there. And while he was there, he knew that he should go back to his father. Recognizing that you have sinned, recognizing that you are wrong, recognizing you're a sinner is good. But the key thing is you need to go back. The lost son, even though he recognized that if he stay there, doesn't help him. Nobody can help him. So therefore, he determined to return to his father. So the determination to return to his father actually is symbolize the process of a sinner being saved. We, recognizing that we are a sinner, should go back to God. And that is the key thing. Without going back to God, whatever you recognize will be useless to you. Not meaningless, but useless to you. Because you were still separated from God. Many times I mentioned in the pulpit, many times maybe I mentioned to you before, what's the meaning of being a sinner? What's the meaning of sinner? Yeah, we said we commit crime, we commit sin, therefore we're a sinner. Yes and no. That we look at the consequence, we don't look at the cause. The cause is, we are sinners because we are separated from God, and therefore we are sinners. It's that simple. We don't become a sinner because we sin. We sin because we are a sinner. That's always a fact. It's not that, oh, I commit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different kind of sins, therefore I'm called a sinner. Yes, but let me tell you, or let the Bible tell you also, even though you don't commit any sin, you are still a sinner as long as you are separated from this God. And that is a definition of the sinner in the Bible. So therefore, this is something we need to know, that we need to come back to God. So why a sinner need to come back to God? Because you come back to God, then God's grace and mercy will be on you, and your status of being a sinner will be removed sooner or later. Why is it sooner or later? Because I tell you later. But this is the key thing. So therefore, the concept of salvation is, we need to come back to God, just like the lost son, come back to his father, and that's the key thing. Just recognizing that you're a sinner, say, "Oh, I need this. I need the cleansing power of God." Yes, it's good, but you're missing the key element of the salvation. So make sure you know that coming back to God is the key thing of salvation. And once you're back to God, then all the things from God will be to you immediately and also gradually. Why is that so? Because of some other things I will share with you later. So therefore, now you all believe, I hope you understand the salvation very clearly right now. Then what's next? There was a preacher, and he was many years ago. So one day he talked to he was in courtship with a sister. So one day he went to his sister's home and tried to say to his sister's father, that means his future father-in-law, saying that he wanted to marry this sister. And then at the same time, this future father-in-law, he was not a Christian. So therefore, this preacher, then he also wanted to preach the gospel to him. Then he as usual, he told him, we need to be saved, we need to have this God, we need to believe in God, and then we have eternal life. And then this future father-in-law, and he said, yeah, that's good, but I want to ask you one thing. And he said, yes. If I have eternal life, if I go to heaven, can I play golf there? I like golfing. I want to play every day. So if I have eternal life and I'm in heaven and I cannot play golf in heaven, maybe once a week, then my life will be boring. I don't want to go be in heaven then. It's better for me to be in hell. If in the hell I can play golf. This is a very simple question, so maybe most of us will have this question in our mind. What's next after believing in Christ? Yes, we know we have eternal life. We can live forever and ever. A million years, more than a million years. 10 times a million years? No. A billion years? No. A trillion years? A zillion years? You don't know how many years. But would you ever thought that it's boring for that many years? We live on earth for 60 years, 80 years. Sometimes we feel boring already in these 60 years, 80 years. Would it be boring when I have a trillion years old? When I look at Max, you are 3 million years old now. So what have you been? So you need to count back 3 million years. What have you done? What have I done? Oh, nothing. There's nothing to do in heaven, right? That may be some of the questions we have in our mind. What's next after believing in Jesus Christ? The first thing we need to know is to come back to God. The second thing we need to know is what's meant by back to God. in this parable, when this lost son, he returned to his father. Before he returned to his father, he recognized one thing. In verse 17, he said to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men.'" Now, when this lost son, he came to his sense, he realized, "I need to go back to my father, definitely. I don't want to be with these pigs. My father will at least treat me as a hired servant. And I can remember those hired servants with my father. They were well treated. My father is a generous father. He's a generous master. So they were well fed, well treated. So at least I can be like them." So when this lost son came to this sense, he had this kind of idea in him. So at least I could be like that. That could be many of us. We might have thought this way. For some Christians, they were sinners. They realized, "Oh, I was so bad. God's salvation is so good. So at least when I go back to God, God may treat me, may not be less as a prince or princess, maybe as a good friend." That may be some of our thought. But when this lost son returned to his father, the Bible described it still a long way off. He was seen by his father. Amazing, he was seen by his father. Did his father use binoculars to look at him or to have a spy to follow him? I don't know. But he realized that his son was coming back. Our Heavenly Father always watch us. And brothers and sisters, I really want you to know that before you believe and after you believe, your Heavenly Father always watch us. Not to try to put down what wrong you've done. No. Our Heavenly Father wants to show His care and love towards all of us. Every time when I have difficulties, I realize that my Father is there guiding me, helping me. And when I have such a burden or difficulties in my life, in such a way that when I knelt down before my God and I was speechless, I felt that the Word of God came to me. How can I have the Word of God? Of course, it's very simple. When you read the Word of God on a daily basis, the Word of God will be in you. And this Word of God will always come back to you when you are in need. One amazing thing about being a Christian is not only you can feel or experience the love of God when you believe in Jesus. I think most of you did experience that. But the love of God will follow you closely. How could He do it? Of course, He is God. He can do whatever thing He can do. And He is all presence. But one thing He promised you and you can always experience in your life, brothers and sisters, when you are young, I want you to experience this as well. That He promised you that it's the Holy Spirit coming into your life when you believe. And that is true. And that's absolutely true. Brothers and sisters, when you say you are a Christian, you need to acknowledge and recognize that God is not just with you, but God is in you through His Holy Spirit in you. So therefore, whenever there's problems in you, not even before the problem comes, when only you have a feeling of the problem, He recognized it. Why? Because He's in you. He's deep in you. He's deep in your heart, or in your mind, or in some part of your body. He's in you so that you can be able to know. When his father saw that his son was coming, in verse 20, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. His father ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." And the son tried to repeat what he had prepared to say to his father. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to call your son. Did the son finish what he wanted to say? It's only half of what he wanted to say. Because the son said that after that, he wanted to let his father know that I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. And before he could finish his statement, he was being stopped by his father. Then the father said to the servants, quick. The father seemed to be ignoring what his son was going to say. He just was so joyful to see his son coming back. So therefore, quick, said to his servant, bring the best robes and put it on him. Put a ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. This was the reaction of the father. So what did the father do actually? Well, the father seems to be ignoring what his son was going to say. Look back to what the son wanted to say first. The son said, I want to be your hired man. Just like that, hired man. And that's enough for us. We sinners, when we try to believe in Jesus, we said, oh, Jesus, just treat me as a person that you love. Maybe enough already. Maybe your friend is enough. Maybe even your servant is enough. Maybe your hired man is enough. God said, no. Because I will treat you as my son. And brothers and sisters, that's something we need to know as well. As we return to God, the heart of God is this. When he doesn't want us to treat us as anybody else except one, and that is his son. And when you saw that this father was giving this son all these things, let's look at what the things are being given to this son. The best robe, the ring, a sandal, and also a feast. These things could happen in this parable in a very short while, but this is something that God wants us to note. Once we return to God, things God wants to see on us, we have a rope, the best rope, we have a finger, we have sandals, and we are in the feast with God. What does it mean? After we return to God, brothers and sisters, God wants to see is, first of all, the glory of God. The righteousness of God is on us. Of course, this didn't happen to us when we this happened to us. The righteousness of God, the glory of God, the holiness of God, they were all on us in the eyes of God. Once we have Jesus, once we come back to God, all these things were on us. It was given to us, but we didn't feel it this way, maybe. We didn't have the experience of these things. But what God wants to see is these are the things to be on us. Just like the lost son, when he returned to his father gave him the robe. We are given also the righteous robe. And what's that? And that's Jesus. Jesus himself is our righteous robe. Because we are being covered by Jesus. So therefore, when God looked at us, he looked at us through Jesus Christ. And therefore, we were called righteous. Because Jesus Christ was righteous. Therefore, when he looked at us through Jesus, we were righteous. Because we are in Jesus. The righteous robe is Jesus Christ, and we are in Jesus. Therefore, God look at us and know that and see that we are righteous. The ring stands for what? In the Bible, you can see always the signet ring of the king. Ring always represents authority. remember many times when the king gave the king Pharaoh gave Joseph the reign, and then Joseph went to prepare all the things for the 7 years of abundance year and 7 years of famine. The reign was given by king Pharaoh to Joseph, and Joseph could do all the job. The reign represents the authority. The reign also represents the power. The reign actually represents the glory of God. When we are received by Jesus Christ, we have the glory. The sandal. The sandal to me is representing exaltation. So when we are in God, God raised us up with Jesus. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we know that this is what is being mentioned in the Bible. When we are in Christ Jesus, we are exalted with Christ Jesus. And that's not the end. And the end is to have the feast. Do you know when we will have the feast with our Lord Jesus? There will be a wedding in heaven, and the wedding will include all of us. One day, for those who belong to God, who are Christians, they will be in a wedding banquet or the feast. And the feast will be involving all of us, brothers and sisters here. Not just here, brothers and sisters in our church, brothers and sisters in overall, all the churches in Vancouver, in Canada, in the whole world, in ages. Because all the brothers and sisters who belong to Jesus Christ, they are forming what? They are forming the bride of Jesus Christ. The church, the universal church of God, is the bride of Jesus Christ. Jesus being the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ being the King, one day He will come back to take us away, and we are the bride together with many, many, many brothers and sisters in the whole universe. And that one day when it happened, there will be a feast in heaven. It's a wedding banquet. The bridegroom is Jesus Christ. He'll come one day. We all believe that one day all who believe in Jesus Christ will disappear from earth for some time. I don't know how long. We'll all be raptured. We'll all be forming the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ anyway. We're forming the bride of Jesus Christ. The whole church, together with all the saints. By that time, I think you'll recognize those people in the Bible, like Moses, like Elijah, like Joseph, like Abraham. You'll notice them. And they all formed together as the bride of Jesus, without wrinkle, without blemish, pure. And we are all together enjoying the feast. So in a very condensed way, this parable, the lost son, this father is giving the lost son all the things he wants the son to have, so that this lost son can be able to come back to the status of being the son of his son, with all the glory, with all the righteousness, and being exalted, and also come to the feast. And this is what God wants us to have in our mind. What does it mean to us? We are sitting here for every Sunday. We listen to the sermon. We sing hymns to our Father. Now let's be honest with us. How many times you really enjoy being here? Let's be honest to yourself. Or go back one step. How many times you really enjoy being a Christian? being Christians, it seems that, wow, there's so many things I need to learn. In the morning, I wake up, I need to read the Bible. Before I eat, I need to pray, say grace. Here is Saturday, right? Saturday, I need to come to the fellowship. Is it Saturday? Yeah, Saturday, come to fellowship. Sunday, I need to wake up in the morning. I could not sleep in. Early in the morning, I don't know how early you go to church. I go to church around about 8:30. And to you, what time? 9? 8:30? Same. You didn't wake up. Oh, for the whole week, I need to wake up so early to school. Maybe one day, Saturday, you can sleep in. And then Sunday, oh, I need to get up early. I see some of you yawning as well. Oh, so many things to do. And then here, I need to sit here, hold tight, be uptight, and then sing to God, and then sing praises to Him, and also read the Bible. Do a Sunday school together? I believe so. And then afternoon, I can go back home. Do you enjoy the afternoon of Sunday more, or do you enjoy the morning of Sunday more? Just be honest to yourself. I don't know, and you don't need to let me know your answer, but based on many, many different responses I see from different churches, I do agree that some of us may not enjoy the Sunday and may not even enjoy being a Christian. Seems that there's so many things in a Christian life I need to observe, I need to hold on to, which may not be something I want to. I want to like my next door neighbor. I want to be like my classmate. They seem to be so free. They can enjoy whatever they want to do. I know sometimes, now being, mostly teenager, being a teenager, there are so many things in this world that are trying to attract us. And we know that that's true. But I want to let you know, I've been a Christian for 30 years. I know that being a Christian, will you never be like your next door neighbor. You will never be like your classmate, like your friend, like your worldly friend. But I want you to know that being a Christian, you are walking in a path that's much more noble, much more glorious, much better than anybody else in this world. Because you are leading your life to eternity. And the eternity is glorious. And God is there. And God is always giving you something very amazing in your life. And through that experience, you gradually will enjoy being a Christian. Nowadays, in North America, it's very common, and it's very frequent to see that there are Christians, especially young Christians, especially Christians of the second generation, they feel that the faith is not that important. It's nothing that they need to hold on to. The reason is because after they believe in Jesus Christ, they don't see anything special about this God. And that is a problem. In this story, in this parable, other than the lost son, there's also one more character in this parable. And that one more character is the elder son. Look at what the elder son said. In verse 25, said, meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and he heard something was happening. And when he realized that his father was so joyful when the younger son came back, he was angry. In verse 28, he said, the oldest brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But the older son answered his father. He said, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends." Lots of times, especially for those who have believed in Jesus Christ for a long time, our knowledge about our belief is, our faith is, while we believe in Jesus Christ, we need to grow. We need to read the Bible. We need to pray. We need to do this. We need to do that. Then when we get a few more years in Christ, we need to serve God. Now, all these things are correct. And it's a must for us to do. Just like this older son. He said he was slaving at home for his father. He worked diligently for his father. But the problem for this older brother is he could not understand his father. He was faithful, he was truthful, he was diligent. He didn't ask for more. At home, he worked like a slave. That's what he said. The problem to him is he didn't know the heart of the father. I worked in together with my wife, we serve in three fellowships. Many times we and those the fellowships, they were high school, university, and young adult. After they graduate, they come out to work. I see the express for high school, that means mostly your age, they could not see how precious that God is in their life. I think maybe that's your case as well. You may not be able to see how precious the God is in their life. Why? It's because, well, look at my father, look at those uncles. They work like slaves at church. They come back early, they leave late in the afternoon, they are diligent, but they could not feel the beauty of God or the beauty of Christ in their lives. And this is exactly what this older brother was. He could do a lot of things for the family, for the father in the household, but he could not understand the will, the heart of the father. So therefore, when the father was so joyful, he could not be able to comprehend why you are so joyful. Don't you know that I've been working for you for so long without a complaint? And this, look at him. Once he came back, he was so joyful. The key reason the father was joyful was because he saw that, he realized that the relationship with his son could be once again reestablished. Many of us, we are in God, in the family, but we are not developing our relationship with our father. We are servants. We are workers. Maybe sometimes we look at ourselves as slaves, but we are not developing our relationship with God the Father. If we do this, if the older brothers and sisters are doing that, no wonder the younger brothers and sisters, he cannot understand how wonderful the God is. We cannot demonstrate in our lives the beauty of Jesus, how wonderful our God is. So this parable has two directions for us to think about. For those of us who know that they're sinners, they come back to God. And when they come back to God, brothers and sisters, God wants you to be like him, to have the righteous robe, to have the rain, to have the sandals on your feet, and also to enjoy the feast with him. Brothers and sisters, this is something you need to work on so that you can really enjoy the Father, the Heavenly Father, in your life. How we can describe that later in many, many different sections. But for the older brothers and sisters, those who have been believing in Christ for a long time, we also need to take our role as a role model to many of the younger brothers and sisters and let them know that God is so wonderful. Instead of trying to work on like a slave, yes, we need to work hard diligently, but the purpose of doing that thing is to build or develop or nourish the relationship with our Lord, our God. Why was the father so happy? He said to his older son, he said in verse 32, But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. In this parable, you saw that the father was waiting there. Shouldn't the father go out to find the son? Yes, absolutely. But this was not the focus of this parable. In the previous parables, I think if you understand, there was a lost sheep, there was a lost coin. The lost sheep, who went to find the lost sheep? The shepherd. The shepherd represents Jesus Christ. Who went to find the lost coin? The light. The light represents the Holy Spirit. So therefore, Jesus Christ came to seek us, to find us. The Holy Spirit shine in us so that we can recognize, we know that we are lost. That was the work of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. How about the God the Father? Is God the God the Father, his role in the whole parable is to accept, to receive. Brothers and sisters, this is why there are three parables here. And here in this parable, what God wants us to see is how joyful God is when he saw you who were dead is now alive. How joyful he is when he sees that you who was lost is now found. That expresses the heart of God. So therefore, after we believe in Jesus, what's next? Is to know this God. We spent many years in our study. How many years? 6 years, 7 years of elementary, 5 years of high school, 4 years of college or university, 16 years. Graduate school, 2 years, 18 years. PhD, 6 years, 24 years. To have so many years to learn about just one subject in this world, either it's microbiology, either it's biochemistry, either it's engineering, civil engineering, or structural engineering, all these things. We spend maybe many, many years to learn all these things. But let me ask you, how many years you spend to try to learn about this God who loves you and who is in you? Well, I don't have time. When I met a friend who is very busy, and he works in many different things. He, of course, he's a wealthy person. He earned a lot of money. And then one day when I met him, we talked about some projects, and he said, "Do you know one thing I always remember? When I want to get something done, I always give that work to someone who is very busy. Because I know that he's busy because he can be entrusted by people and he can finish the work. I don't want to give the work to someone who has lots of time. So being busy is always not a question to me, not a problem to me. Being busy maybe is assigned to me to choose that person. I think you're all very busy. I murdered the two. But I know that if that thing or that subject is my priority, no matter how busy I am, I will always spend time on it. I have another friend, and he likes golfing, and he's very busy. And I told him, I don't like golfing. He said, why? Well, I need to spend 4 hours in the field. Is it 4 hours? Yeah, at least 4 hours, or 6 hours in the field. And then get up very early in the morning, and drive to the golf course, and I said, I don't like that. So I rather play tennis or badminton. It's much easier. He told me, yes, you are right. And I told him, I'm so busy, I don't want to do these things. And said, then you are wrong. Because it's not that you're busy, you don't want to do it. It's because that thing is not in your priority list. Therefore, you don't do it. I think we all share the same thing. Maybe for you who are studying, you have many things in the priority list. But it's knowing God in your priority list. And that is something you need to ask yourself. If knowing God is in your priority list, I can guarantee that even though you're busy, you spend time on that. But if it's not, then even though you have ample time, you won't spend time on that. So brothers and sisters, when you come back to God, I want you to know the next step is to know God. How? There are many ways. How? There are many different routes to get there. There are many interesting ways to get there. But I want you to know one thing first. That is, to know God is the next step after you are in God. And also, to be honest with you, there's no excuse to that. Because once you believe in Jesus Christ, once you are in God, what does it mean? It means that this Jesus Christ is your Savior and also your Master. What does it mean? It means that this, your life from now on, belongs to Him because He saved you from death. Isn't that true? You're supposed to die, and now He saved you so that you don't need to die. So therefore, what does it mean? It means that your life belongs to Him. So therefore, if your life belongs to Him, to someone who saved you, whatever He tells you, you should do. Let's stop here. Let's pray together. Father, when we are sincere to You, we know that in many days of our life, You are not being put in the first priority in our life. We find out there are so many things in our life seems to be more important than You. And therefore, You are being pushed to the second, to the third, and all the way down, maybe to the lowest priority. And therefore, when we spend our life for 2 years, 3 years, or 10 years in You, we still find out that we don't know much about You. We may serve You. We may try to do something for You. But the problem is our heart towards You, or our knowledge of You, is so limited. Oh Lord, forgive us. When we have this kind of situation, may God remind us and enlighten us one more time. What we need to do in the whole life is to build up or rebuild our relationship with You. And that is what You want to see from us. When You were so happy to see that we were being saved, the reason You are happy because You see that there's a sinner who now can come back to You and can start to rebuild the relationship with You so that he or she can know You. May God guide us so that we can really be touched by the message that You are waiting for us, not just to come back, but to know You and establish a very close relationship with You. In the name of Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.